Good morning, and this is WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York. This is the report to the listener for October. I'm Valerie Venisla, the general manager of the station, and I'm in studio with Matthew Finch, our interim public affairs director, and we will be joined by other staff throughout this hour. Bernard White, the program director here, who has worked extraordinarily hard and well to help us get through this very difficult year, had a medical emergency, and so will not be with us this morning. So we're looking at this as kind of a part one, and we may do a part two after the membership drive, which is on all of our minds, and that comes up October 9th through the 26th. And there are already many, many exciting plans for this station to cover our city, to cover our nation, and to cover the world that's also ours over those 2.5 weeks. We're looking at doing a broadcast of the first big national and international rally in Washington, D.C., perhaps at the end of our membership drive. So stay tuned for some very important programming. Some of the best things we do happen during a membership drive here on WBAI. As we are here on October 4th, we are 4 days away from having completed fiscal year 2002. And it has been an extraordinary time in every respect. I was at the National Board meeting in Houston about a week and a half ago. And I began my report by saying there has never been a time like this. And indeed, there has not. With all of the work that had to be done, with the rebuilding and reaffirmation of the mission, with a station on the brink of collapse and a foundation on the brink of bankruptcy, we have had to achieve the nearly impossible, and we have almost done that. We came in here with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt in the foundation and $5 million of back bills and debt unpaid. We have gotten that down to about $1.5 million now, and our work at WBAI through this transition has been to rebuild the base of support, reaffirm the mission, stabilize the station, and begin the process of rebuilding entirely. And I think that we have accomplished quite a number of those critical work things during this period. For one thing, through the outstanding work of our staff, the people who have been with us through these 8 months, from January to the end of September 30th, that concluded our fiscal year, nearly performed miracles in bringing in the highest amount ever for listener support here at WBAI. It is already, and we're not having closed the books yet, well over $2.7 million, and there has never been a record like that in BAI's 42-year history. It was important, but it was also necessary in order to pay so many of the back bills that were the legacy here. We have tried to prepare the way so that the station was not paralyzed, was not crippled by debt this new year, which began October 1st. And although we will have, some debt service to do, nobody escaped this year unharmed, this year of living dangerously or unscathed. It will be manageable, and it will not really deter the station from doing its work and hopefully moving forward. We've also tried to prepare the way to democratize not only the BAI, but also all of Pacifica, through the work on the bylaws, the governance programming, and you heard much of that in the Houston board meeting that occurred just recently. And again, tremendous thanks for the outstanding, extraordinary work of the staff who helped us get through this period. The great support and leadership that we have gotten from our national office and executive director, Dan Coughlin, and the extraordinary goodwill and continuing generosity of our listeners. Without them, none of this would have been possible. And it was through the listeners' movement, listeners' interest, the listeners' passion for WBAI that we have, in fact, survived this incredible year of such dangers and such difficulties. We're going to move on to this new fiscal period. Our budget will be about $3.5 million. There may not be another year like this past one because of the economy, because of the continuing threat of war, and because of many other factors that mean that this station and several other things are also in transition here. But in that rebuilding process, we have brought back over 6,000 members to the station, from under 13,000 in January to just about 19,000 now. That increased our membership base by 50%. That's a great achievement. And the income that has come from that, of course, has helped us pay the bills, pay the electric, pay the Empire antenna, and all the other things that we had to do. As to staffing, as you know, we've made some staffing changes. With the voluntary separation that was offered to all staff here, BAI's core of paid staff was reduced by 22%, almost a fifth of the people opted out. And so we have had to do all of this work and much of this work with a rather limited number of people, many taking on double and triple duties, but we've made great progress and, again, achieved record-breaking results. We have had continuing very productive talks with AFTRA, and I think we are close to concluding those talks for a new contract for the station. We have also been in discussion with the unpaid staff organizing committee, have had meetings with them, have heard their concerns, and issued a letter back in September recognizing their efforts and recognizing them as a organization to really represent the unpaid staff lines here. And, of course, we've made some programming changes as well. And for that, with Bernard out today for important medical reasons, he's okay. It's just that he had to have some medical work done today, and today was the only time it could be done.
Valerie, if I could, it's very important that we not alarm our listeners about
And I don't want to do that. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to put this in context.
It's what we would call a dental event. That's really what we're talking about, and Bernard will be back in fine.
Yeah, no, I'm alarmed.
Good. So on the programming front, I mean, there's Matthew, and there's also Jose Santiago, our news director here in the studio, and we can talk about many of those things, but much of that is still in progress, and now we move into a membership drive. And, you know, nothing will really move ahead in terms of full changes until, of course, after the drive is over. But some of the new programs have included women's groups, two women's groups that have done a very important series here, other women who have done Ain't That Good News series, the series on the environment's being done by two different groups. The number of young people around here is just so refreshing and amazing and great, including Student Voices for Peace and other youth collectives that have come into WBAI over these past 8 months to begin their career, to begin their first experience in radio, to get a taste of what independent media is really like, and also to begin training. And we will have training. We will have training coordinator coming up this fiscal year as a part of the plan for it. Two important things will be in our immediate future, and one is in November, and it's the Archives Day. The Archives is a treasure of Pacifica that includes 52 years of the most important social, political, economic history of this country, and spans a spectrum of voices. They need support. They need preservation. They're on tape, and so that work needs really, really, really to be preserved. And they've been planned for it for a long time, but now we are going to do a national fundraising day for the Archives. We did four this past year, one in February to help with the transmitter in Los Angeles, one for the April 20th event, one for Juneteenth. We did another one around reparations, and, of course, we did a very important one around September 11th. At the board meeting a week and a half ago with the general managers and the program directors, we discussed Pacifica's need to really provide leadership for not just alternative media, but all media in the call for peace. And the way, of course, that we can respond as a radio foundation is to develop a program or a series of programs to address these needs, to look at them locally, nationally, and internationally. There was an absolute consensus among the national staff and all of the general managers and program directors there to move on this. And so within about a week and a day, a new program has been launched. It's called Imperatives for Peace. It comes out of Washington with contributions from all five stations around the network, and it is a daily show. We started it on September 30th, and the programming staff here initially decided to place it at the 11 p.m. to 12 midnight hour. That is under discussion. It just came in these past 4 days, and we are working out a way for it to get placed in an optimal position so that it can really carry out its own mission, and that is to call for peace. And to help our audience understand the issues fully with the background, the history, the economics, and the politics involved here, you know, as the rest of the nation does this march to war. So that is in process, but some of you, we hope, have heard it. We have gotten good feedback, very good feedback about it so far, and it's also been offered to our about 60 affiliate stations. We've also got equipment here. We've done special projects here during this past year that were not done before, and they need to be done and will be done this year. The benefit that you just heard about, and I'm so glad that the Michael Moore film will be used that way. Michael Moore is a great friend of WBAI's, has been for many, many years. We hope that we might have him on sometime during this membership drive, one way or another. We've had his speeches on before, and they've just been brilliant. Local Advisory Board has continued its work on primarily the bylaws and on the general manager search because, again, the station is still in transition. And that process has not been concluded yet. So we will hold the fort here and do everything that we can to bring this station safely home until that transition is accomplished. In the address in Houston, I asked the National Board to use the deepest wisdom, the most dynamic presence that it could bring about, the widest vision to help us through this period of uncertainty, this period of the threat of war, and in every way to try to help unite us and bring us together. And the same call goes out to the local board and to all the listeners in our audience. This is a time when we must pull together, be together, in order to stay together and keep functioning WBAI at the very, very highest levels. So we urge you to do that, and you can make that so by, of course, your contributions to the station, to pay pledges that you may not have this past year. Of course, we're still open to that. You can also pledge on our website, but also for the thousands and thousands more who listen to join us and become a member when we begin our new drive, October 9th to the 26th, coming up. So that is an opening summary of some of the things that we've done. But through this year of living dangerously, the bottom line is that we have survived. The station is in an infinitely better position. It will not be crippled by debt. And I believe it has the capacity and the necessity to flourish and to grow this fiscal year and in the years to come. So I want to turn this back to Matthew for some further notes on programming.
Okay, and we'll be joined very shortly by Mark Leosa. Jose Santiago, who's the news department head, will also be here. And Mark is coming in right now. Again, because Bernard is not here, we can't go really in depth, especially when it comes to Q&A time on stuff. I want to, as Valerie said, when Bernard is here on Monday, he'll probably deliver an individual report to the listener. I just want to make a few observations and give a little information. When we talk about, the reason I said don't be alarmed is that we have had one of our staff who has been taken ill, and that is Rashmi Mayor, who listeners during the daytime would know for his program Voices of the South. He was in Johannesburg attending the so-called Earth Summit in late August when he did take ill. He is recovering, but he is recovering rather slowly. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that by November, Rashmi will be back in New York and able to work with us and return to the air. In the interim, there are a few tapes that we have from Rashmi that have not been aired because he was always thinking ahead. And we will be hoping to get some of those on, those that still remain newsworthy. But we have used that hour, that 11 a.m. Thursday hour, to, let's say, to take some of the pressure off other programmers. Because one of the things that emerged, I think, in the recent board meeting, and I must say that although I'm not a fan of board meetings as radio, it was very obvious that there was a feeling of direction and, dare we say it, almost harmony within the members of the board, and even a different spirit in the kind of criticisms that were being put forward. Reason for real optimism, I think, for most of our listenership. But we are facing a contradiction here, and the contradiction is that as community radio and as Pacifica Radio, we are really duty-bound to try to represent and include as many people as possible. But at the same time, we are under tremendous pressure the needs of the national upon our airtime are intense. And this is wartime, and there's no argument that these needs must be met by us. But what this does is this puts a lot of pressure on our local programming and the mandate to carry lab reports, to do report to the listener, which is obviously something we have to do, but to do bylaws discussion. All of these things put a tremendous amount of pressure on the schedule, and it is. I just want to recognize on behalf of the producers how hard every single producer here works to get the work before the audience, and that there is a lot of pressure just for time that we're enduring right now, and it makes things get difficult. There are things that we cannot do. There are programs that are getting lost in the sauce because of this. I am hoping that this thing can be shaken out, and I'm afraid it has taken much longer than it should have, but everything takes longer than it should here at Pacifica. The last real observation that I want to make is about this particular moment in time. We are an organization, Pacifica, with a storied reputation for breaking news and for coverage and for individual coverage and perspective. But we have to understand something, that if the missiles should fly, you will be tuning to this station for analysis, for perspective, for activist information. But the viewer who wants the blow-by-blow will perhaps not be tuning in here for that. But the missiles have not flown at this point. This is the era when the work that we all do here in this network and with the affiliates is of maximal importance, because indeed in this atmosphere we can be ahead of the curve. We can speak and hear from the voices of dissent, the voices of dissent that are not simply limited to the predictable progressive wing, but that are coming from very different points of view. This is the very time when we can do that work, and I have to warn people that we're going to have to continue doing that work during fundraising, depending on how the news cycle turns. So it's going to be, we're going to have an adventure during fundraising. But I ask you all to remember that it is the station that is the premium, and it is the tradition that is the premium, and the necessity of this place and of our sister and brother stations and others around the nation at this point. Bernard, I'm sure, will speak about some specifics when he gets a chance. So let me defer here to Jose Santiago and then to Mark Leosa.
Okay. Good morning. Last time we had the report to the listener, and that last month there were a few things I wanted to bring up, and we didn't get back to it. So rather than go into some of the news issues, the news is cooking. We're still doing what we do. We had an issue earlier this week that hopefully will be resolved very soon, which is that this new national program that Pacifica is putting together is now running, for the moment running, where we normally have our rebroadcast between 11 and 12 midnight. And the programming folks here felt that that was the best place to put it, and it's not an easy decision for them to make. I'm not being critical of them. It's hard to find space. it's almost impossible to find space. And when you take space, there are always those who are, feel that their program should be there and not a new effort like this effort of Pacifica. It's a very important program, but we did have a discussion, and the concern that I raised was that concerned that we're only getting the local news once when we use that rebroadcast hour for this new program. And I think, you know, missiles fly in Iraq, but they also are flying in Brooklyn and the Bronx and everywhere else. And I think that we can't throw that away. And I raised the issue at the staff meeting, and Bernard was very gracious, very understanding, and said that we're going to work to see what we could do with the program, perhaps run part of it, the new Pacifica program, perhaps run part of it when it's fed to us earlier in the day live as it's being fed, and then run another part of it at another hour. But we're working on that, and hopefully, if not before the fund drive begins next Wednesday, that when we come back, hopefully, you know, the local news will be back there, I hope. So that's that for news. The other areas that we didn't get into last time, because I had been asked, I'm one of the paid staff representatives on the General Manager Search Committee, and the Search Committee had asked that I give an update on how that is going. And in regard to the search for the General Manager, we've been meeting for 3 or 4 months. The committee is something like, it varies, anywhere from like 12 to about 16, 17 people, representatives from paid staff, unpaid staff, local advisory board, many community groups, and also national board members, and Bernard White, the program director, is on that committee as well. We've looked at about 50 candidates, the resumes of about 50 candidates. The application date was mid-August, the deadline. The application deadline was mid-August, so there are no more resumes being accepted. And of the 50, we kind of narrowed it down to three candidates, one of whom has since dropped out. And right now, subcommittees have been formed to check on the references of the remaining two candidates. And as early as next Wednesday, those subcommittees will be reporting back to the full General Manager Search Committee. And after that, we will probably have a debate as to how to proceed. We're required to give the name of a candidate or candidates to the executive director, Dan Coughlin, of Pacifica, and it's Dan's call on to select someone. There also might be a discussion as to whether people are not satisfied with the quality of the candidates who we had, and whether or not this should be reopened, which means that you know, it would take who knows how much longer to select the general manager. So all of that will hopefully, well, I don't think it will all be resolved, but there will be further discussion of that next Wednesday. But the process is moving, and people on the search committee have worked really hard to make it I think a transparent and a very a good process. On behalf of the paid staff, who elected me among several others to represent them on the committee, I think that people on the committee have done a really good job. And I think it's very important that that get done because there are other job vacancies here at the station. There are people who are in interim positions who've been shifted around from one department to another, and really, it's hard to imagine that any of that could really happen, and people, for example, like a development director could be hired, and that's one of the most critical persons in terms of fundraising, until there's a general manager in place, because you don't want to hire a bunch of people, have a new GM come in who can't work or doesn't know the people who've been hired to be their key people. So hopefully the process will move quickly, and we'll get a GM named soon. In regard to the after talks, I've been involved along with Fred Kuhn with as one of the shop stewards in discussions with management. We've had half a dozen or more negotiation sessions going back three or four months or so, management, Valerie has been extremely cooperative and has done some really important work, very committed to getting this resolved. Dan Coughlin, the executive director of Pacifica, has also been very gracious and very realistic and down-to-earth, and we think very honest about the financial situation for Pacifica. From the union standpoint, we have wanted to resolve the union issue here, and the fact that we haven't had a contract, or we've been working under an extension of old contracts for many, many years, way before the situation with the so-called coup that took place now almost 2 years ago, right? We have really made a lot of concessions. Management has made a lot of concessions. The talks have gone very well. We're very, very close, I think, to an agreement. And the last negotiation session that we had ended with handshakes and pats on the back, and that's a good sign. And I think the combination of the a general manager being selected and the long-standing labor issue, union issue here, with people wanting such things as health care, et cetera, and if not a decent rate of pay, a slightly more decent rate of pay. I think if those two things get resolved, we're really, really way ahead of the game and moving forward. And hopefully we could move forward not with the extraordinary effort of people like Valerie and Bernard and others who take on so much, because positions aren't filled and things are sort of structurally, organizationally, kind of limping along. Not anyone's fault. It's just the situation we're in historically. I think as those things get resolved, things could really get better. And I really think I'm very optimistic about where things are going. There is one thing that has come up that really I think I have to speak about. I think it was August the 16th, a Friday, members of the WBAI Latino Committee, which is a group of folks, producers, staff people, listeners who are concerned about Latino issues, and they actually have a representative on the General Manager Search Committee. They've been meeting and had asked me to participate in some of their meetings since around January or so. And they met with Dan Coughlin, Valerie Van Isler also attended that meeting. And they raised some questions. They raised some questions about Latino programming here at the station. They feel very strongly that there's a lack of Latino programming, although there are some Latino programs. They also said that WBAI also has a poor record, in fact, almost non-existent record of hiring of Latinos. And they raised many issues, including the need for there to be a Latino person on the national board. They also raised issues about the percentage of programming that's either it's Latino content or a producer who's Latino or dealing with Latino issues or even bilingual Spanish language programming, which is like minuscule. It's practically non-existent, where something like 27, 28, 30%, if not more, of the people who live in the listening region and our signal area are Latino. And they raised it not just here in New York, but also in some of the other stations, Los Angeles, Houston, tremendous Latino population, and also the same situation with very little Latino programming. So again, as usual, Dan Coughlin was very receptive, and he did say that, I have a quote here from my notes, he said, "This is exactly what we need to begin the process." And this is now about 2 months ago, and the committee is waiting to hear and waiting to have further meetings to discuss this. There are a lot of also some sub-issues. There's an issue of, well, I don't want to get too specific. Some of it is personnel issues. But there's concern also about the treatment of Latino employees and other issues. So that came up, and that is out there, and I hear it quite a bit. A lot of people are very happy about the turn of events and how things were reversed here. Almost universal happiness and good feeling. But some older issues that were still around, such as the union issue, such as the questions about Latino programming, are still there, and people really now feel that they want to step up and make sure that those things are not forgotten, that we don't celebrate ourselves into numbness and not admit that there were some things that needed to be fixed, because if we're going to fix it, let's fix it all the way.
Mark Leosa.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'd like to thank all my colleagues and the listeners during this very fluid moment where Matthew Finch has become interim. Interim. It's very early in the morning, yes.
Hard to remember.
Yes, no, it's yes. Everyone wears so many hats here. Matthew's acting public affairs director, I'm acting arts director, and we're all moving around covering many, many bases, or as they say, multitasking. Mm-hmm. Yes. We've gone back to programming with an afternoon art strip from 2 to 3 o'clock with Janet Coleman and David Dozer during their Cat Radio Cafe on Mondays, which is generating a lot of response from listeners, and I understand will be covered in several print outlets to come. I don't want to speak of them yet. I'll let her do that. On Tuesday is the Tuesday Afternoon Arts Magazine, where a lot of producers get a chance to file stories, interviews, reviews with artists, people who have ideas, expressions that just aren't getting exposure anywhere, as well as community arts announcements and opportunities for our listening artists to partake in grants, fellowships, information that I don't believe any other station, commercial or non-commercial, in the New York area is doing. On Wednesdays, we have a transitional person from the depths of the night to the afternoon, and that's Fred Geobald doing his light show. And on Thursday, Luis Reyes Rivera is bringing us his perspectives, and that's also generating a lot of phone calls and a lot of interest. And in the evenings, we have a music strip, which is still settling into place with Fred Hershkowitz and his Home Fries, his unique blend, as only Fred can do it, of music, chat, banter, and interaction with the listeners. On Tuesday nights, Bill Farrar with Jazz Sampler, who's bringing his views of jazz to all of us. Wednesday is Gary Bird. And I'm having a senior moment. What's on Thursday night?
Well, Gary Bird on the Wednesday, he's doing a talk format.
But he's
within,
also
within
playing
GBC.
Music. So
well, of course.
Yes, well,
he's a multitasker himself.
Thank you.
At this point, Thursday, we're holding to the public affairs format, which begins with Basir and Chawi, Education at the Crossroads, goes to Where We Live, Sally O'Brien and Company, Alambe Brath, Africa Kaleidoscope at 9, and Kathy Davis, who had moved out of Monday evening, has been holding the fort at 10 p.m. Many other discussions to go into, but I would sort of want to defer to my PD about those issues. Valerie, I know we do are sort of duty bound to take some phone calls, but are there other issues you want to raise first?
No, I think it's we should go right ahead and get the listeners' input here. After all, they helped us survive this year. And we have a commitment here, you know, foundation-wide, for the transparency and openness and the democratization of Pacifica. So this is part of the Democracy Project. So let's go to our listeners here.
Okay, and just so we keep it on the up and up and are transparent and democratic, I'm actually going to give the phone number. Because it's often good to give the phone number when you open the phone so that people who don't know the phone number can join us, as opposed to people who have it on the speed dial. And that's area code 212-209-2900. Again, we're in the midst of a report to the listener. Bernard White has a dental event, and he will be taking some calls independently in a personal report, maybe as early as Monday. But at this point, we want to go to our listeners, and you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm glad I got through. Thanks for the report. I have a comment about the reparations rally, which I don't know if you're going to cover Sunday's event at Central Park, the peace rally.
That is excellent. I don't mean to interrupt you because I want you to continue your thought, but we definitely plan to have some people there. This is the first big one in Central Park. We don't know whether it will mirror, you know, the millions in Central Park that happened in the 1980s around the nuclear issues. But any event like that, WBAI will be there. We'll be present somehow, some way to get the information to you. Please continue with your thought.
Yeah, that's the point, getting the information. I can't get into the city that easily, and I couldn't get to Washington. But I do listen to the station on the issues. And an example of the reparations issue, I was looking forward to the station covering the rally because I listened to the, you know, to the reports and the issues on you know, the daily shows. And I was very disappointed that what happened at the rally is that all I got was basically the talking heads that I get on television. I didn't have a TV available. And what happened was all it was a rehash of what I've heard on the station from the station. In other words, it was Bernard and you know, the group that I've heard the positions from. And I was interested in hearing, like, a wider, you know, statement from the people that were actually speaking at the rally. And what happened, after spending all day of listening to the rally in Washington, I had to come home and watch the whole thing over again on TV to actually hear the speakers that were speaking in, you know, in the afternoon. And maybe, I don't know how that is as far as television code, you know, radio coverage, or whether that's something that is universal. That but I enjoy listening. I don't enjoy, but I appreciate the broadcast of the station meetings, you know, the station meeting in Houston and whatever, and I do listen to them. And I think it was important to hear all of the station meetings and the whatever, the way you broadcast them. But when it came to a political issue like the rally or the reparations, I felt, you know, I was very disappointed in not being able to hear the speakers.
Well, caller, I fully appreciate the disappointment. What this goes to is there's a distinction to be made here, and that is that when there is a board meeting or, a national board meeting, it is in a house that is under the control of Pacifica. In other words, we can pretty much operate it as we want and broadcast from there. If we're talking about a rally in an open space, a place like Central Park or a place like, you know, the mall in D.C., it is a very different operation logistically. Some of the finest live technicians around come out of this station. But we were not the operative principal when it came to the reparations march. The planning is happening now for the event in Washington, D.C. on the 26th, which there are hopes that we will be able to carry at length and from the podium. We are not going to be able to do that this Sunday. It's a logistical thing. This takes a lot of preparation, and it takes a level of person power that we don't always have, especially as we're all trying to prepare for the drive. But it's not an excuse, but it is an explanation if you accept it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that very, very much. And just so we're very clear, what's coming up October 6th in Central Park is the Not In Our Name March, and it's about peace.
Okay, WBAI.
You're on the air.
Yes, hello, good morning. This
good morning.
Is Omar calling from the Big Mango West Harlem area. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm a supporter of the station, have been for many, many years, along with my friends and family members. And what I'd like to ask the panel is there a possibility that some people who are of like mind, or maybe people who may have different points of view, is there a possibility that the station can set aside some time that maybe they can have some programming, like maybe once every semester or once every season or something of that nature, as long as they, like, surrender ideas and resume of what they want to put on? Is there a possibility that the station management could look into that avenue? Because a lot of the programming that I've been hearing over the years, with no disrespect to anyone down there, because I know that WBAI is unlike any other radio station on the planet, as far as I'm concerned. But you have many people here who to be honest with you, they are more centered on what's going on in their communities and how they can better their communities, housing, schooling, the drug problem, the AIDS problem, and maybe they can bring us a fresh perspective, the problems that we're still having in the church, the Catholic Church, for instance. Is a lot of that's being swept under the table. So I was wondering if we could discuss with someone down there how we could bring that to the fore.
I think there is always that opportunity, and there is no time like the present, as soon as we finish this membership drive, to initiate it. Many new voices have come on our airwaves in the past 8 months, especially with some of the rescheduling in June and the changes that we made. And there is a review and monitoring and mentoring and everything else going on, during this period. There is always a need for new talent and new voices and new perspectives. I mean, WBAI is really about alternative media. And one of the things that we encourage you to do is put these ideas in writing and send them to the program director and to Matthew Finch here with, names, addresses, sources, or whatever. So this could be looked at. People submit one or two page proposals. As long as it fits in with the Pacifica mission, we should be open to examining these ideas and many, many, many others. And as we move into a new landscape here, both politically, socially, and economically over this year and the years to come, that need for fresh perspectives, that need for new views and for opening up the vista and for deepening the vision is an important part of the work for any Pacifica station, particularly here in New York at WBAI. I want to just tag on something to that, because our landscape here, the actual terrain, may or may not be changing. One of the things I want to talk to our Matthew about, and also Mark, is that there were plans about two years ago, before the World Trade Center, September 11th, to possibly do a Bilbao, a Guggenheim Museum, down here in Lower Manhattan. With September 11th, everything was on hold. Nothing was moving forward. But they are already doing some construction about half a block away from us, right here on the East River, which is where the plan for a new Guggenheim Museum was. We are going to investigate that. We need to do a series about that to see what that planning is, how this is being financed. Are they really going to do a Guggenheim? What is the plan for our neighborhood here across the street on the East River? Because if a Guggenheim comes in and it's anything like Geary's Bilbao, we're talking about an entirely different landscape down here on Wall Street and throughout the entire, financial area.
Can I ask you something? And I don't want to seem that I'm being out of the way or I'm being insulting or anything. But they say hindsight is better than foresight. But do you wish at, or does anyone wish at any time that, I mean, do you have regrets that maybe you moved down in that neighborhood? Maybe you should have stayed on 8th Avenue, where, in my humble opinion, I thought it was more of a family type of a setting than down there on West. It's a heavier type of identity, if you will.
Yeah, you've touched a real button for me, because that building, which was temporary quarters 25 years ago, they only moved there because they lost the church, and they were to be there about a year or a year and a half. It turned out to be 25 years. The building was literally cracking, falling down. There were accidents in it. There were real issues about safety for the staff who had to leave the side entrance for years and years, people who were attacked. Our staffer was mugged. Our staffer was threatened down there. There were all kinds of serious drug issues and crime problems in that area. And we looked for a year and a half, almost 2 years, for a new space. We hired a nonprofit broker to help us do this. And we save an enormous amount of money. We have almost twice the space here. It is filled with 40 other nonprofit national organizations, so it's a real collegial feeling here because we're all in the same service work. And, you know, we hope that, in fact, we will be able to continue here to mount another capital campaign. This costs us about $1 million. It'll cost us $2, $3, $4, or $5 million to locate someplace else and move someplace else. So that is a big, an enormous challenge, you know, given the debt situation which we are still in. I think we made the right move here. We simply could not stay in that space anymore. We had outgrown it. There was no more space. The facility was really so constricted, and it was so unhealthy and dangerous for our staff. Just we could not stay there.
I'd like to excuse me. I'd like to just add to that that I miss the place. I miss 505 Eighth Avenue. I miss the cheap rice and beans around the corner, and also it was a lot easier for people to come down and get on the air and bring their issues and bring their flyers, etc. But I think that goes that issue of whether or not you're in touch with the community and getting community issues on doesn't have as much to do with the transportation issue and the access of the station itself to the public. I think it has more to do with the commitment of individual producers and program hosts who need to see their programs less as their sort of throne and their sort of, you know, what makes them who they are because they have a program and really need to sort of focus on community issues and really just really try harder. It's not enough to have a wonderful analysis and a handful of people that you go to break things down and analyze events. But I think you also really need to be active and really need to open the door and be in contact with those communities. And it goes back to my concern about making sure that we continue to emphasize the importance of covering local issues and local communities. You have to be aggressive about it, and you have to be methodical about it. And I think we can't just lay back and feel, okay, we're in our slot, or we're back in our slot, and here we are, and people wanted me, and all this stuff. And it's not enough. You have to also keep doing the work. And a lot of people do. I'm not saying that there are a million people around here that don't. But I think it's something that we all have to check ourselves, and even myself, and my dealings in the news department.
Yeah, am I up? Okay. Can't hear myself in the cast. I want to follow up on Omar's comment about listeners having a show. Oftentimes, story ideas do come from the listeners who have the inspiration, oh, how about giving coverage to this, but don't have the time or commitment to do the research and preparation to bring it to air. So that process is already in place. In regards to the Guggenheim moving down here, Guggenheim Foundation's in very bad shape. The Soho Guggenheim is now a boutique, and the Frank Gehry model that I saw of the downtown museum has been described by some as a carcinoma, an eight-story carcinoma. So I don't know if they're scaling down, but that is something we will be investigating.
We certainly will, here at WBAI at 99.5 FM in New York, and you're on the air. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask you about the musical programming that you used to have on at 10 o'clock after Democracy Now. Will it ever come back or no? I mean, especially in relationship to the issue of Latino representation, you had that great show on Latino rock.
On Tuesday,
yeah.
Well, that program
down here.
Yeah,
it is?
Yes, that program is now on Sunday night at 11.
Okay.
We had
11.
Now here is this. We don't really have time to go into it. That the decision was very close to being made more than 2 years ago. That eventually that morning music slot would have to move into the evening. All of it. And everyone knows the difficult history between that day and this day. I'm still hopeful that we can return to our music profile. And I just want to say, Mark, if I'm overstepping my bounds, that we have to understand that if we're really talking about outreach, one of the ways you outreach, especially to young people, and especially across boundaries of language, is through music, and that is, I still believe that that program, La Nueva Alternativa, is has been underappreciated for its success in doing it. Not that it's the last word on a certain type of programming, but I believe it has been successful, and its audience is rebuilding now Sunday nights at 11, okay?
Sunday nights at 11. Is there any chance of, putting it on the web so that you can get access to it at other times?
You can hear it on the web. We're streaming 24 hours a day. And by the way, our website has been down for the past 2 days. They changed the server to increase capacity. It is now up and running, so all around the city and all around the world, you can tune into WBAI at www.wbai.org.
And their library there, the program, so like if I can't hear it on Sunday night at 11 because I work.
It's not archived yet,
but that is something that we are going to work on for the future.
Okay, great. Well, I really want it back in the morning if possible. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. BAI, you're on the air. BAI, you're on the air. Let's go on to the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi.
Good morning.
This is Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to concur with everything that Jose said. I think it's essential that we have more Latino programming. I'm a Latin America solidarity activist, and I think we need to have programming on CAFTA, the Central America Free Trade Agreement, because the vote on that will be coming up all too soon, and we have to oppose it now. Also, as an activist, I'm very upset and frustrated that the repeat of the news is no longer on, because activists are not home between 6 and 7. We're on our way to meetings. Also, people with children can't listen at that time because they're getting their children fed and making sure they did their homework and spending time with them. So I think as many people listen to the rebroadcast as listen to the news, and while I think the War and Peace report is very good programming, I think something has to be done to give us back the news.
Well, thank you for that information and your point of view there, but that certainly isn't true. One of the high points in our schedule is the 6 o'clock news. 11 o'clock, there's almost nobody there, as measured over 10 years by Arbitron, but that almost nobody there in their book doesn't mean that great activists like yourself and many, many others don't tune in. Of course they do. But as we said before, this is a temporary measure. We are trying to find the right place for this programming. And after all, this push for peace and this move for peace is part of the Pacifica mission. And it is really a must-do. It's one that we all concurred unanimously for and moved on very quickly within a week and a day.
And by the way, thank you for that comment, because what you said was exactly what I said at the staff meeting that we had a couple of days ago, where we discussed this and we discussed it in a positive way, and I think everyone really wants to make the change. It's not about someone screaming that they're not getting what they want. We're discussing it, and I think it'll be resolved. But thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Shall we go on to another call? Yes, BAI, you're on the air. Good morning, BAI.
Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matthew. This is Patricia from Brooklyn. I was just calling. I was a little concerned about T-Dub had made a statement about having problems with the shout-out line, and that's one of my babies. I really love the shout-out line and anything to do with the prisoners. On account is one of my favorites, and also Al Lewis Live, because I'm involved in that. But I was just wondering if we could kind of look into that, because there was a tape that was not played that was very emotional, to the point that T-Dub was crying because it was so emotional and it didn't get played. So I'm a little concerned about that, because I pretty much try to shout out to Leonard Peltier and Farouk, who were people who were very had a significant part in the WBAI. And also Lumia, who the commentaries are absolutely wonderful, you know. But I have no problem with any of the other programs, because I listen to it all day, majority of the day at work, and I love the programming that you guys are doing. I was just concerned about that one little thing, because she takes the tapes herself when it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
She goes out of her way, you know, and I really love her. I had an opportunity to meet her when I went down there to volunteer, and she's doing the best she can with it. I was just wondering if someone can, you know, make sure that happens, because they need to know, you know, we need to shout out to our loved ones in prison, you know, especially political prisoners who, you know, I really am concerned about.
Okay,
so,
thank you for your point. Now, the thing with the Prisoner Shout-Out Line is that it airs, the same piece airs at three different slots, and I think what our colleague who works just as hard as you say, and I hope folks realize that, was upset about, I think, was one of those three showings, one of those three airings didn't go. I do know that Radio Free Erin has made the commitment, and Liza Butler is a very solid as an engineer and is always certain that it gets on just before 3 o'clock, and I don't think they've missed a single one away from fundraising. Now, as you know, when we get into fundraising, a lot of what we normally do doesn't happen. So that's the. But I think your point is well made, and I think what we'll have to do is address the very slot where it wasn't getting spun, and see that it can just get a home. I agree with you on that. Valerie, do we have time for one more quick one?
Yes, I think we have time for one more call. And just to follow up on one thing that Pat raised about the programming here, it's very important that our audience understands that we really have been trying to reflect the city in many, many ways for the past 10 years, that 67% of our staff, paid staff, are people of color. 33% of our staff are not people of color, to put it that way. And of those, we have staff here from the African American, we have staff here from the Latin American, we have staff here from the Asian American, and formerly had staff here from the Native American communities. The most diverse staff structure in all of Pacifica. And it's interesting that actually at one point just about three department heads here, including Jose Santiago as the news director, Mario Murillo, who was formerly the public affairs director, and now Evelyn Andino, who is the subscriptions director, are all from the Latino American community. That's a record we are proud of. And of course, with some of the new things we can do here, with the pressure being relieved somewhat on our budget, we'll be able to make some new hires and, again, hopefully reflect our city and its people.
Well, thank you, Valerie. We're just about out of time. We're going to put this caller in the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to ask you for about 1 minute.
I only need 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. My name is George Leiker. I'm a subscriber to the station, and I expect to get cut off. La Nueva Alternativa this past weekend played two songs that I found very offensive. One of them was about Jews, with kind of a slight inference of some anti-Semitism. The other was one about super niggers, which I also found offensive.
Wait a minute. These are. The music is in Espanol. I didn't know you were...
No, La Nueva Alternativa. The music was en inglés, okay? It said, Jews...
Okay, I am actually going to cut you off just because I don't think we need to hear those references a second time. We will have to address that. I'm very sensitive on language, as is the FCC. So thank you for your contribution.
We're also very sensitive about respect for our staff, respect for ourselves, respect for our audience, and all of the many communities that make up WBAI. As we conclude this report this morning, I again want to urge everyone to help us continue to rebuild, to help us solve problems together, to collaborate together so that we deepen this vision of justice, we deepen this vision of freedom, we deepen this vision of true diversity, and we deepen the vision of genuine equality. Some of you may remember, but I will never forget, the words of Sonia Sanchez, who said, the cause of war is the preparation for war. So therefore, the cause of peace must be the preparation for peace. That is exactly the mission of WBAI and Pacifica, and one that we will pursue. Thank you for listening this morning to the October Report to the Listener. This has been Valerie Van Isler with Matthew Finch, Interim Arts Director, Mark Liosa, Acting Arts Director, at Public Affairs, and Jose Santiago, our News Director.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, coming up at 10 o'clock. Will be Counterspin.